Welcome to the Poem of the Week. As you know, poems are patient-oriented evidence that matters. Each week, our poem is intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes, and he is joined by InfoPoem's senior editor, Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
Good day, Mark. How are you doing?
Doing fine, thanks.
Good. Today we're going to actually talk about something that's near and dear to our heart. It's back pain, specifically lumbar stenosis. Just by way of background, lumbar stenosis can refer to one of several different states. It can refer to narrowing of the intraspinal or central canal, relate to narrowing of the lateral recess, or narrowing of the neural foramen. The five vertebral bodies, L1 through L5, comprise what we call the lumbar spine. Posterior to that, or distal to that, is the sacrum. It's made up of five developmentally fused vertebral levels, referred to as S1 through S5, and that's followed by a terminal bony prominence via the coccyx. The spinal cord, if you remember, terminates at the conus medullaris. That's within the spinal, the intraspinal canal, at about the level of T12 or between T12 and L2. Again, all of the lumbar and sacral nerve roots are constituted at the T10 through L1 vertebral level. The causes of lumbar central stenosis can be congenital or acquired. The acquired causes, I think, fall into the category of degenerative arthritis, which affects the spine. It's most common, the most common cause of lumbar spinal stenosis affecting people over the age of 60. Progressive disc degeneration is often due to aging or trauma. Lastly, there can be pressure on the elements of the spine, including the facet joints. So all of these processes encroach on the central canal and the neural foramen and can cause pain. Again, the most common problems occurring at L4, L5, followed by L5, S1. This week, Mark, you've got a study that's looking at whether there's some benefit from surgery in these cases. Studies published in the New England Journal of Medicine. What did the authors find?
Well, thanks, Mike. This is a really common indication for spinal surgery, the most common indication in Americans over age 65. Amazingly, though, or maybe not that amazingly, it's been really poorly studied, and the rates of surgery, because it's been poorly studied, because the evidence base is so weak, vary as much as fivefold between different parts of the country. So, you know, when there's that much variation, we're not all singing off the same page in the hymnal. In this study, which was a fairly complicated study, so hang on a bit, patients with lumbar spinal stenosis were offered randomization to either immediate surgical repair or a combination of physical therapy and NSAIDs and exercises. Those refusing randomization were then offered enrollment in a non-randomized prospective cohort study where they would just follow these patients over time and let them choose the treatment. Patients with degenerative spondylolisthesis or lumbar instability were excluded. The average age was 65 years, and about 40% were women, so pretty typical group. They screened 1,100 patients, of whom only about 290 agreed to be enrolled in the randomized trial. Another 365 joined the observational study, and over 400 just refused participation at all. The main analysis was intention to treat, which is what you should do in a treatment trial, but there were a lot of crossovers. Now, a lot of patients in the surgery group refused surgery, and many in the non-surgery group chose surgery. And by the end of the two-year study, about two-thirds, 67% in the surgery group had undergone surgery, but 43% in the non-surgery group had also undergone surgery. So you'd like to see 100% and 0%, a lot closer. There was still a difference, but a lot of crossovers. And the crossovers from non-surgery to surgery tended to have more severe symptoms. They looked a little different than patients who didn't cross over. This kind of thing can bias the results toward the null and actually lead us to underestimate the benefit of surgery. So they also did an as-treated analysis, and they counted symptom scores and other outcomes before crossover from non-surgery to surgery in the non-surgery group, and then they assigned outcomes after surgery if they crossed over to the surgery group. So more of a per protocol or as treated analysis. That might inflate a little bit the benefit of apparent benefit of surgery. So in the more conservative intention to treat analysis, they did find that surgically treated patients had less pain but didn't appear to benefit regarding function or disability scores. On the other hand, in the as treated analysis, which is maybe not quite as conservative, but in this case maybe a more realistic measure of what actually went on, they did see a significant benefit for patients who got surgery as far as pain, function, and disability went, and they saw that in both the randomized and observational groups. On the other hand, it's also important to remember and to note that in this study, patients who didn't have surgery actually had relatively little change in their symptoms over the 2 years of the study. So the risk of getting worse if you reject surgery initially is pretty minimal. So it's not as if when somebody becomes symptomatic, they have to have surgery right away. They're probably, at least if they look like this group, not going to get a lot worse very quickly.
This really addresses the question of pain and disability only in the subgroup of people with back pain who have lumbar spinal stenosis, not other types of back pain.
Yeah, that's right. But it, you know, it's one of those situations where it's currently the best available study on the topic, but it really shows how hard it is to do a surgical trial. You know, in particular, I think patients are more comfortable being randomized from one drug to another or for a relatively short time, a drug versus no drug. But surgery is forever. And, you know, I like to say there's no problem that a spinal surgeon can't make worse. So the decision to have surgery for a spinal problem is not trivial. And I think a lot of people are uncomfortable leaving that to chance.
Good advice. Thanks for the abstract, Mark. We'll talk with you again next week.
All right. Look forward to it.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.